Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, folks, relax, enjoy a sip of something, and hopefully this episode will just take you where you want to go and maybe even help you find sleep. Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Marco Timpano, and Amanda is not joining me today. In fact, this episode's coming a little bit later than it usually does. Amanda had to have some surgery. She's fine. But she wasn't feeling up to recording an episode. But as luck would have it, a special guest is in town from Halifax. And so I implored them if they would like to join me on the podcast episode. And they said, yes, of course, because they're so gracious and lovely. You might remember some episodes way back in our history on New to Bronx. I'm welcoming Becca Barker, Amanda's sister, back to the podcast. Welcome, Becca.
Thanks for having me back, Marco.
Thank you for jumping in and just being gracious and lovely as you always are.
Oh, it doesn't feel like a gracious move. It just feels like, yeah, I want to talk into a microphone for a few minutes.
You were just mentioning how you used to be on the radio back in Halifax at university, right?
Yeah. Not really when I was a student, or not where I was a student anyway, but a lot of cities have community or campus community sort of radio stations. And so CKDU is located at Dalhousie University, but I was not a Dal student. So general community members can come in and volunteer. And that was the thing I used to love doing back in the 90s.
What was the name of your radio show? If you can mention it or feel comfortable.
Yes, I totally can. So I helped out on a show called Cod is My Co-Pilot.
I see.
Cod as in the fish, because Maritimes.
Sure.
Yeah. And it wasn't initially my show. It was my friend's show.
Okay.
And he'd been doing it for a few years, and he was pretty well known at the time, correspondent for Brave New Waves, and did a lot of writing about like the Halifax scene in the 90s and stuff. So
can we send a shout out to him?
Absolutely.
If you're listening,
yeah,
we're actually going to raise a glass of Amaro.
See,
that's
all
the,
nice.
That's the sound of thing. Well, first we should say
yes. So, so this is a shout out to James Covey, the former host of Cod is My Co-Pilot.
There you go. Mm-hmm. From us here in Toronto on this podcast. That's my other podcast on the Insomnia Project. So, one thing I delight when you're in town, Becca, is that Becca loves Amaro. I love Amaro. My wife doesn't like Amaro. Mm. So when you're in town, you and I indulge and enjoy Amaros.
Yes. Yeah.
Tonight we're drinking. So if you hear the sound of clinking ice,
like it's because,
yeah, that's the sound of us drinking. We're drinking Amaro Nonino, which is one of my favorites. It's a more subtle Amaro. What do you think of it?
I'm liking it. I can't remember if I tried this one when I was here before, when you took me on that, like, you put out a map of Italy, and then you took all your different bottles of Amaro, and you placed them on the parts of the map where they were from.
Right.
Which was, like, totally delightful. And I can't remember where this one was from. I think I did taste it, but I don't remember.
Okay, this one here happens to be from my mom's part of Italy, which is Friuli, the northern part. Mm. For our listeners who aren't familiar with what an Amaro is, an Amaro is an Italian word that means bitter, And in this case, we are drinking a bitter liquor or digestive, and it's made by infusing a mix of herbs, spices, roots, and other botanical ingredients into a base alcohol. The combination of these ingredients gives Amaro its distinct bitter taste. And the reason I sort of gave you this sort of map flight of Amaros is that each region of Italy will have different botanicals that they'll infuse into their Amaro. So you'll have different flavors. As you go further south in Italy, you'll get more citrus flavors because citrus trees tend to do very well in the southern parts of Italy. So they have some orange or lemon flavored or essences in those Amaros. Anyways, we're drinking an Amaro and we're happy to be here. You just flew in. How was your flight today?
It was totally uneventful, which is what you want. Yeah.
And how are things in Halifax?
Halifax seems to be doing all right. There's a lot going on. What area or what subtopic of Halifax are you interested in learning about today?
Okay, so here's what I'd love for our listeners.
Okay.
So if you were to recommend something for a visitor to Halifax who's never been there before, walk me through what you would recommend they do.
Okay. So if they were somebody who, you know, I didn't really know very well, or I wasn't sure what kinds of things they were into or why they were visiting, I think the first thing I would do would actually be to take them to our public library in downtown Halifax, which is the Halifax Central Library. We are all very, very proud of it. It was built about not quite 10 years ago. And when it was first built, it won all these sort of architecture awards and stuff. But it's really lovely because for years and years and years, we had a very, it was an older building. So it had a lot of older building problems for our downtown library. And this was a new build. And there's a lot of new builds that I just don't really like. But this is a beautiful, well thought out, very open sort of space. It just feels very light. It doesn't feel very stressful. It doesn't feel heavy. Tons of books in there, obviously. It's a library. There's a beautiful, along one wall, there's original artwork by Canadian artist Cliff Eland, who for many, many years made part of his subject matter 3x5 tiny paintings, like library card, old card catalog cards.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. But they're actually tiny canvases and they're just, so there's like a wall full of them, hundreds of them all spaced out, just really beautifully laid out. The new library is 5 stories. And when you go up to the very top, there's just this really nice, airy, open reading room and you have a beautiful view of the Halifax Harbor to the south, Citadel Hill to the north, and downtown to the east.
Are there any comfy nooks in this library?
Yes. Oh, many, many, many. And of varying kinds, too.
So I love a good library nook.
Yeah, yeah. And you wouldn't necessarily think so because it's so open concept.
Sure,
when you first walk in. So you're just like, oh, everything's out in the open. Yes, but there are also these like, they almost remind me of like canopy beds almost.
Okay.
They have sort of 4 posts and a little roof, but it's like a little, almost like a restaurant table kind of within that.
Love it.
So they have a bunch of those that you can park yourself at. There are lots of rooms that that are either dedicated to certain kinds of activities that one in the old-fashioned library days might not have associated with libraries.
Like what?
Well, for example, there is the Lou Duggan Creative Studio, and it's sort of a multifunctional kind of creative workspace. Like they have 3D printers you can use. They have a kitchen within the space, so you can have like cooking classes or cooking meetups.
That's wonderful.
They do like crocheting nights and things like that. And the staff person who runs it is actually not unlike myself, an independent animation artist. And so her name is Sarah Gignac. And we actually a couple times now have done these sort of animation drop-ins where people will draw different little animated sequences and we'll film them and we'll kind of put them together and have little screenings and stuff. So there's another, so that's a really great room.
How delightful.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful. I also appreciate how you, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name of the person.
Sarah.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Share your artistic mastery with other people and allow them to take joy in what you create as an artist.
It's the thing I love the most about animation, because there's always that, even when it's, you know, not done on film, even when it's digital, if you're working frame by frame, there's always that moment of astonishment and magic where you play it back and you're like, oh, I made a thing move. And my favoriteest thing is watching people have that moment. Like, I love having that moment. And so I know what it feels like. And when people, anybody can do it, right?
Right.
Like, it's such a joy.
Do you still have those moments? Or are you kind of like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think if you really love doing that kind of work, you're never over that kind of moment. Yeah,
wow.
It's the best.
It's almost like bringing something to life, like, you know, that's really...
I mean, the word animate means to give life,
there
so...
There you go. I've never been to that library, so I've been to Halifax many times.
What? Shut up.
And I love
Have
libraries.
Have we never taken
no,
you there?
No.
Oh, I am a terrible sister.
No, you're not. Here's the thing. You know...
We're taking you next time.
I'm definitely going next time.
Yeah.
I think most of the times that I was there, it wasn't completed yet.
Yeah.
And then when it was completed, I was going for different reasons, to see my new nephew and to hang out and a wedding and whatnot. So you don't always have the time. But next time,
we have to take you.
I love a library. Yeah. I love a library that has nooks. And you brought up something very lovely about many libraries, is that it's also a place where you can see artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people realize that. And I think we need more artwork in libraries. We need more libraries in general, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're one of the very few, like, truly public spaces.
Yeah. And it's the great, it's a library, and my listeners know this about me. I have such a passion for libraries. It's one of the great equalizers, mm-hmm. because a library, you know, will lend books to anyone, no matter, you know, who you are, what you have, what baggage you have or don't have. The library doesn't care.
Yeah.
And I kind of love that. So, okay. So you take us to the library, this cool library. What's the name again?
The Halifax Central Library.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. Where would you take us next?
Oh, after the library?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, if the weather is like it is now and over the next few months, that's the reason why people bother living in Halifax, is the summer and the fall are absolutely beautiful. Winter and spring, total crap, but it makes you appreciate the summer and the fall even more.
Sure.
So assuming it's this kind of, you know, this time of year, I would likely want to take you down to Point Pleasant Park.
Nice.
Which is, for those who may not know, the city of Halifax, which is also known by its original name in Mi'kmaq, Jabuktuk, is actually a peninsula. And so on one side, and it sort of faces the southernmost, like, fringes of Nova Scotia or Mi'kma'ki. And that's sort of like we're on the eastern edge of the continent, right? And so the very bottom southernmost shore is like a lot of little coves and inlets. It almost looks like little fingers or fringes coming out. And so Halifax is one of these. It's a little peninsula. And so on one side, you have the Bedford Basin, which is sort of the main harbor. And then on the other side, you have a skinny little arm called the Northwest Arm. And that's its own little tiny sort of inlet or basin. So Point Pleasant Park is the very tip of the peninsula. So it's the very southernmost point of the city.
Cool.
And it's you know, acres and acres of fairly untouched, fairly natural still forest and a few sort of grassy areas, but mostly forest, but lots of like walking trails. A lot of people like to walk their dogs there. But some of the trails sort of course, go around the very edge of it. So you get all these beautiful harbor views. And so I would definitely want to take people to Point Pleasant, because you get this great sort of, you know, view of the ocean and sort of perspective of, you know, where the city sort of interfaces with the surrounding areas like Dartmouth or Spryfield on the other side.
That's really neat. I've never been to this place either.
Yeah.
Just when you think you know a city, you talk to a Haligonian like yourself and you find out there's so much more to see.
I am a terrible person because I can't believe we've never taken you there.
Listen,
either.
You've taken me to some great places.
Like,
We tend to go
where
to
where do you remember going?
Well, we went to the Fairview Arms a few times, mm-hmm. which is a local eatery. That's a great question. Thank you for asking me this. Where else do I remember going? You know, I know I could visualize walking from Sobeys to your house without a problem. I feel like I know.
We took you to Sobeys.
Which is a grocery store.
Such about, a great host.
No, I'm trying to think like I could walk that in my mind's eye. But we've also been to, you know, the fascinating thing is I've done a lot of Halifax before I came into your family.
That's true.
So I saw a lot of it prior to that. And so some of the stuff that you would take a new person visiting the city to, I've already seen and indulged in.
Maybe I assumed those things.
But I also feel like we tend to go and share experiences of food and drink,
yes,
which is something we both love, and hence the motto that we're having this evening. So I feel like you take me to some interesting spots like that, where it's like, I'm going to take you to this really cool, like, you've taken me to brunch many times, because you know I love brunch, so I've seen a lot of brunch places with
As
you.
As do we, yes.
Yeah, and along with the motto, you and I love a good coffee, so you've taken me to a bunch of different coffee places.
But you know what? This, and I'm glad you enjoyed that, because obviously I enjoy that too. I still haven't taken you to my very favorite coffee place, which is a tiny little spot in a tiny little warehouse market called Espresso 46.
Okay. Mark that down, folks.
Yes. It's run by a lovely couple, Federico and his partner, Emily. And two of the people who work there as baristas, one of them is named Palmer, another one is named Laura. And when they work together, I love calling them Laura Palmer. And apparently nobody else had ever made that Twin Peaks joke I did, which is bizarre. But but Amanda went there with me last time she was there.
Did she enjoy it?
Yes, she did. Yeah. So we still have to take you, Marco. But
stay tuned to next week's episode where I ask Amanda if she really indeed enjoyed that place.
I feel confident she will.
I'm sure she did. But here's my thing. If we mention your name when we're there, will we get our first espresso free?
I could probably ensure that would happen.
Okay. You heard it here, folks. If you're in Halifax, go to Espresso 46.
Yeah.
And mention Becca Barker's name.
Yeah.
And your first espresso.
Wait. No, I said you would get one. I didn't say
our listeners. No, you've opened. Yeah, okay. Listeners. I thought she said our listeners, whoever went, would get their first espresso free. So
I did not say that.
Well,
you're the one who can do the editing, I guess.
Listen, it's going to happen. He'll see. Listen, what do you care? They'll say it at that place and they'll be like, Becca, did you say that?
Are you kidding? Halifax, here's the other thing about Halifax. It's a small town.
Okay.
My name will be Mud if you do that.
I see. Let's see.
I can't afford to be run out of town.
If we can sully Becca's name by ordering espressos on her. Okay. So when you say it's a small town.
Yes.
What is the population of Halifax?
Oh, gosh. I think it has actually grown a lot in the last few years.
Okay.
But last time I paid attention, which was several years ago.
Sure.
The population of the city proper was about 150,000, I think.
Oh.
And the greater Halifax municipality is more like 300,000.
I see.
But it's probably more than that.
Okay, fair enough.
I haven't been paying attention. You know where else I would take you?
Yeah, tell me.
And this is new to me.
Okay.
Is actually Dartmouth.
Okay.
Which is the other side of Halifax. I am in what I jokingly call a bi-coastal relationship.
Oh.
My partner lives in Dartmouth.
Okay.
I was always a peninsular Halifax snob.
Yes, I can see that about you.
Totally. Yeah, right. And I don't own a car, so I don't really get out. I don't get off the peninsula a whole lot. But now that I have more reason to go over to Dartmouth, and my partner has lived in Dartmouth for almost 25 years.
Is he a Dartmouthian?
I guess he is now.
Is that what you call them?
I think so, Dartmouthian. He's originally from Spryfield, so he's actually from the other side.
Oh, he was a Sprygolian?
you know what? I'm going to have to ask him what we call them. That's a very different place. But
Probably a Spryton. That sounds more like, you know, Spartan.
Yeah. But yes, he's been a Dartmouthian for like 25 years.
Okay.
And he he seems to have this agenda to make me warm up to Dartmouth.
Okay.
Because I was like, ugh, Dartmouth, I don't know, it's malls and stuff, right?
Yeah. And I've been to the Dartmouth Mall.
So there's the Micmac Mall.
Yes, that's the one.
And there's Dartmouth Crossing, which is like, you know, that concept they had a few years ago where like, let's take a mall, but like, let's explode it out and make it try to feel like an old timey town square, but really it's not. And you still have to drive to all the parking lots.
Yeah.
And it's actually worse than a mall.
And but, those places work great in warm places like California.
You know where is not warm? Halifax.
You know what's even less warm? Dartmouth.
Exactly. You think Halifax is cold? Wait till I take you to Dartmouth. But here's a couple things I love about Dartmouth.
Okay.
One, you get a great view of Halifax.
Just when you think she's going to be kind to Dartmouth, she takes a left-hand turn.
It's such a backhanded compliment.
Okay, I love it.
But it's true. You have the most beautiful view of the skyline. And the ferry ride to go back and forth between Halifax and Dartmouth is like the cheapest harbor cruise you can get.
Oh, that's great.
It's like a couple bucks and, you know, or $2.25 or $2.50. So it's quite lovely. But the other thing that I'm really coming to appreciate about Dartmouth is there are a lot of really nice walking trails, walking and running trails, many of which skirt along, yes, the highway, but also on the other side, these parks and lakes. And Dartmouth is known as the city of lakes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, tons of lakes. And so you'll get on this trail and you'll be like next to a highway and you'll be like, well, okay, I guess. And then just within a few steps, you're just like in the trees on the trail. You can hear the highway, but you can barely see it. And there are these beautiful lakes and you start to hear all these birds and see woodland creatures. And you're just like, it seems so hidden, but they're just beautiful, beautiful walking trails.
Wow.
And they can take you all over around the lakes and all over Dartmouth.
That's fantastic.
It really is. Yeah.
The thing I appreciate about Dartmouth is that when you're there, you often send me photos of beautiful cocktails you're enjoying in Dartmouth. And it's funny because I do a podcast about food and drink, and I've noticed on my Instagram feeds that I follow, there's a lot of great bars and things in Dartmouth that have just appeared, and a lot of great cocktail bars too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a few years ago, people would sort of jokingly call Dartmouth the Brooklyn of Halifax, which is ridiculous because, you know, it's such a tiny city.
Sure.
But it is like, you know, a bedroom community whose downtown has sort of flourished as, you know, housing prices are too expensive in Halifax.
Sure.
People move to Dartmouth and then more artists move out there and it kind of gets hipstered up a little bit.
Or there's a trendy aspect to places like that, which
definitely,
I love.
Yeah. Dartmouth is kind of trendy in parts now. But yeah, there's some really, really great little nooks, little bars that make fantastic cocktails. And some of them are in Dartmouth. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned nature a couple of times. I'm curious, what is some of the nature that you see in your city, in your province, that always wows you when you see it?
Oh, gosh.
While you're thinking, I'll tell you about a couple that always impress me when I see them here. Just to give
please.
You a second to think.
Yeah.
So whenever I see a blue jay.
I was going to say a blue jay.
There's something about blue jays that are impressive when you see them because that flash of blue that you don't expect to see flitter by or fly by.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mean. They're not nice birds.
Yeah.
So blue jays are ones, cardinals, another.
Yeah.
Possums, if I ever see a possum, they're always, you know, they're not the prettiest or most lovely looking creature, but they're very beneficial because they eat a lot of ticks.
Mm.
And so I love to see a good possum because I always feel like a good possum is taking care of business.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three animals. I guess I love seeing bees, big bumblebees in flowers. That's another thing I don't like squirrels because they're very...
I know how you feel about squirrels.
They just tear up my world.
That's why your nephew, my kid, and I tried to make a play structure for them that time a few summers ago.
I feel like...
To give them something to do so they wouldn't hurt your plants.
Too welcoming to the squirrels.
Maybe we were. But we were kind of into the squirrels that summer.
So. Fair enough.
Yeah. And I'm not normally big on squirrels. Although when they do run across the power lines, as my kid and I walk to school, like we joke that that's the squirrel highway.
Right.
This is pretty cute. I think in terms of wildlife or nature, some of the things I tend to appreciate Will be in the harbor. Like, sometimes we get otters and seals.
Oh, neat.
Right in Halifax Harbor, which is kind of fun. And, of course, we have a lot of whale-watching tours.
But do you ever spot a whale when you're walking by the water and you're like, oh, there's a whale?
Not in Halifax, okay. But on the South Shore.
Okay.
Which I know you also love.
Love the South Shore.
Yeah. Yeah. Queensland Beach, we saw a whale sort of like, I'm not sure what the right term is, but when they sort of, they're not breaching, but they're sort of like, wee, you know, in the sun.
Basking?
Maybe basking? Is that the right word?
I'm not sure what wee.
Wee.
Just to visualize it,
yeah.
Becca said wee, and she kind of leaned her head back with a bit of a smile on her face. So I'm going to say basking.
Yeah.
Enjoying the moment.
If it were me,
yes,
I would say I was basking.
Sure.
I don't know if a whale would call it that.
When was the last time you basked? And where were you?
Good question.
Is it a good question? Was the last time you basked? I'm going to put that on Twitter.
It's
see
a
if anyone...
terrible question, but I'm going to answer
okay,
it.
Okay, I love it.
And I believe we've kind of come full circle in my answer, because sure. Truly, the last time I basked was in that reading room in the library.
Oh.
It was a really sunny day, and yes. It was like floor-to-ceiling windows, and I was in a really comfy chair, mm-hmm. And I was kind of just, I just kind of leaned back and enjoyed the sun on my face.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
There you go.
Wow.
That is the true answer.
I love it. Well, thank you for taking us to the library, then to Dartmouth, mm-hmm. And then back to the library.
Oh.
Yes.
Can I take you one more place?
Please, please. Let's end with the last place you'd take us.
Okay. Well, this isn't the last place I would take you.
Okay.
Because that would probably be like a garbage dump or something.
Sure. Fair enough.
But another must-see,
yes.
Would be a little place in the North End called the Blue Building. And it's literally a blue building.
Okay.
It used to be a kind of industrial sort of building. It is now owned by the fabulous artist and curator, Emily Falenki.
Okay.
And that building houses not only Emily's gallery, the Blue Building Gallery.
Is this on Argyle?
No.
Okay.
It is on Maynard Street, okay. In the North End.
Argyle's not the North End?
No.
Oh,
Argyle,
sorry.
Argyle is downtown.
Okay.
Yeah. You might be thinking of Agricola Street.
Agricola Street. Is that the North End?
Agricola is North End.
That's what I was thinking.
But it's not the street that this building is on.
That's exactly
what
I was thinking.
But it's close to
it. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's my
old neighborhood. I'm so glad that you knew where I was trying to go with
the
that.
The two something. A streets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying, so in this blue building.
Yeah, so the blue building has Emily's gallery, which is a commercial gallery, but for contemporary art. Features a lot of local artists too, but they are local yet internationally known artists, so they're kind of a big deal.
I love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But also, there are several artist studios that are rentable, which is kind of a big deal in our city. For such a small city, we kind of punch above our weight in terms of artistic production.
Sure.
And finding a decent, affordable studio space is always really difficult because of that. And so this building has tons of studio spaces that are active every day with working artists of all kinds. But the most special thing about this building, I'm going to say, is one of the main open spaces, which is called, which belongs to an organization called Wonderneath. Wonderneath is a community arts-based organization run by professional artists who are also educators and very invested in just art being accessible to everybody. And they do this amazing thing every Friday afternoon and Saturday afternoon called Open Studio. And that is literally what it is. They open their doors. Anybody of any age can come in and do whatever they want, basically, in terms
neat.
Of art making.
Sure.
And so you walk in and you see just walls of very well organized, like, color pencils and paints. And not only those kind of traditional art materials, but also things like needle felting, woodworking, sewing machines. They have screen printing.
And we can just, the general, so if I
and it's
went,
free.
So I could screen print, which is something I've always wanted to do.
Yep.
And would there be somebody there to assist me or?
Well, the facilitators at Open Studio don't really do like how-tos
sure.
so much, but they do, you know, they offer guidance when it's requested.
I see.
And certainly with a couple of things like woodworking gear, let's say
right.
there's, you know, safety concerns
of
sometimes.
Of course.
But that's generally the idea, is they're there to help you if you need the help, if you want the help. And it's a great way to, in a very low stakes, very low stress way, just try different ways of making art. And so we have lots of kids come in, absolutely. But, you know, kids will come in with a caregiver or a parent, and they'll just sit and make stuff together. It can be whatever you want. They do, once in a while, you walk in and you might feel a bit like there's too much choice and you can't decide what to do. Right. So they do have like a featured project each week. Like that's if you great. Just want to walk in and do a thing and you need help sort of focusing, they do a featured project. And sometimes we do animation drop-ins there
too. Oh,
that's
so wonderful. I really think that's awesome.
It's so great. And the vibe is that kind of, well, kind of like I was describing with the animation earlier, you get that moment of like, oh, I made a thing move. You can get that feeling from like screen printing the first time you successfully make a print, or you learn how to needle felt, and the people there are always lovely. There's always like, you know, snacks on hand.
Sure. I need to ask you this as we end this episode.
Yeah.
So it's a blue building, you said, right?
Yes.
You're an artist.
Sometimes, yeah.
No, you are an artist.
Okay.
I will confirm that. What shade of blue is this building?
Oh, yeah. It's like a light cobalt.
Okay.
It's like a colder blue. It's not like cerulean blue.
I was thinking cerulean, but now. Okay, so it's a colder blue, like a cobalt.
It's like a more cobalt, royal-ish blue, but not like super deep.
Sure.
It's what I think of when I think of like a standard blue.
Okay.
Which is not helpful.
Well, listen.
It's not the best artist description of blue.
Becca.
But it's beautiful.
I bet it is. Thank you for sharing all this. You listen, Amanda's resting upstairs, and I appreciate you jumping into the studio with me here in Toronto to bask in Halifax on today's episode.
Thanks for having me.
And folks, I hope you enjoy this episode. We always love having you, Becca. You're always welcome on the podcast. Until next time, I hope you were able to listen and sleep.